Discouraged people, it's never too late. I'm picking up on what Greg said last Sunday when he was speaking. I was sitting up back there, and I don't know if you remember, but he did a little bit of an intro and kind of a paragraph to start the message, and he said he really didn't plan on saying that. And he talked about how difficult it is during the holidays sometimes for people who are going through things that you have no idea what they're going through. And it's not always a good time. I know a lot of people in my family, at work, in the church, who fit that description. So as he asked me to speak last week, I just went to that. So I really don't know what God is going to say to you this morning, but I'm pretty sure he's going to touch somebody. Let me read you a couple of scriptures to start us off. Come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Cast thy burdens on the Lord. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, Lord. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will never leave me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand shall save me. My peace I leave you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Be strong and courageous. He heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds. My voice rises up to God, and I will cry aloud, and he will hear me. May God add the blessing to his word. Father, this morning as we delve into this subject of discouragement and what a thing it is in the lives of your people, you never promised a rose garden. Circumstances in life are what they are sometimes because of what we do, what other people do to us. And we wonder why, and we get discouraged. But Lord, you clearly have told us what to do about that. And sometimes these circumstances, Lord, are created that they might draw us closer to you, so that we might find that place where we're on our knees and there's no other answer but to cry out to you. That's what you want. Father, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to everyone who's listening. Have them have a soft and open heart and an ear to hear, that whatever you press upon them, they may react to it, and they may listen, and they may do as you call them to do. Thank you now for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I could say amen right now, I guess. Like, how do you add to God's word? It's too late. It's too late. What's it look like? I've seen it in the eyes of people. I've been in the middle of counseling. I've seen the friend on the verge of divorce. I've seen strained family relationships. Fathers who don't speak to sons and daughters who haven't spoken to their mother in years. I've seen men and women at the verge of retirement lose their jobs, their 401ks, and wonder what's next. Health, I've seen so much pain. I have no answers. It's just too late. Well, I've got news for you. It's not too late. I'm going to talk to you today about a man who learned simply. This is not wicked, powerful stuff I'm going to preach about today. This is simple stuff. This is simple truth. This is the ointment of God applied on wounds to be healed. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 5. Very familiar section today. I put it up on the screen. It's rather small. I hope you can see it. If you can't, you've got a Bible, you can find it in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and I'll read it out loud just in case you can't see it. It says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put it out a little from shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came, they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled up their boats on the shore, and they left everything and followed him. What did I get out of that? Where are we going today? I think Simon thought the same thing. Here's the scene. Jesus, if you're familiar with scriptures, this is the point where he started calling his disciples, and that's usually what people preach on. That's not what I'm going to talk on today. I'm going to talk on a little bend on that. So Jesus is out preaching. He's on the shores of Gennesaret, which was a northern Israel, and there were six communities along that section of the country. Little known fact that they were a hustle-bustling community there. Not like now if you go over to Israel and visit, and it's like Dustville. They were thriving communities. Like the historians tell us, there was like six villages of like 15,000 people each, 90,000 approximately in the area. And he's marching around preaching the word of God. That's what's going on. It says earlier in Luke 4:14, we won't go back there, that on this occasion, he had made such a great effect that thousands were following him, and the news spread through the whole country, and everyone praised him. So what I want you to realize is that this was not a first chance encounter by Simon. Simon had heard about him. Simon had probably heard him speak. Simon was familiar with him. This man was not unknown. Thousands were coming upon him to hear him speak. This isn't just happenstance. It's not happenstance that he showed up on Lake Gennesaret and stood in Simon's boat because Simon had come to the end of his rope. Things were not working so well. He needed a new direction in life. He needed to be called. Everything was planned and orchestrated by a holy God, just like your life. And you need to make choices about how you react to that, even in a time of discouragement. It is your responsibility to recognize a holy God and bow down to him and reach out to him, because he is there. Wow, I almost got an amen on that. I was like, amen. Thank you, brother. This is true stuff. This isn't make-believe. When people are going through tough times, they don't need stories. They need real stuff. They need a real God. They need someone who can relate to them. They need someone that they can trust. So here he is. He's been fishing all night. Hadn't caught anything. Him and his partners. In fact, they gave up. I've had it. It's too late. They're washing the nets. And along comes Jesus, and he's preaching to the crowds. Do you ever stop and read a sentence or two and stop and think about this? These things, this is in my notes. This is where it gets dangerous, Greg. Did you ever? Because I'll probably say something that the elders are going to give me a hard time about. Say, well, Randy, I'm not sure about that scripturally. Well, did you ever wonder how Jesus spoke to thousands of people without a microphone? I wonder about that stuff. On the lapping shore of a lake where land slopes down, and he can sit in a boat and be heard. You ever wonder about that? I do. That's kind of a weird thing to wonder about. But you know what? That's no different than you meeting somebody at church, or they come into your home and they say, God told me something last night. Yeah, right? They heard it. I wonder how that happens. That's spiritual stuff. See, Jesus was God's son. I'm pretty sure that if Jesus were speaking and he wanted 3,000 people or more at one time to hear him, he didn't need a microphone. He could talk as this, and he was talking to the heart. He was talking to the heart, and they heard him. That's spiritual power. Some of you are sitting here right now, and God is saying, not Randy, do you hear me? Turn to me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're hearing that voice right now. It's not mine. It's God's voice. So Jesus turns around and he says, move this boat out a little bit further. And he speaks. And then when he gets done, he says to Simon, let's go fishing. Now, give me a break. The guy's been fishing all night long. He's a professional. He owns the fish company. Caught nothing. He's washed his nets. Let's go fishing. Lord, we fished all night. Nothing happening, man. But if you say so, I will. What happened there? He listened to God, and God said, do something, and he did it. It's called an act of faith. It's not a Jesus pumping, I got you. It's just knowing that God wants you to do something, and you go do it. That might be happening to you right now. I don't know if it's go visit somebody, go pray for somebody, or get on your own knees and pray for yourself. That's what God expects. He expects you to do something. He expects you to turn to him. That's your only act. Turn to him. You have to do anything else. He's done it all. That's what Paul did, that's what Peter did here, or Simon. So what's fishing got to do with this? Have you ever cast your net for something? Peter was going to do it for fish. What are you doing it for? Solvency? Sobriety? Faith? A victory over repeated sin that you can't stop doing? healing, and you get to the same place. What's the use? It's too late. No, it's not. I can't stand up here and tell you why people go through what they go through. And sometimes it just seems like forever. God's got a purpose. Don't come and ask me after why. I don't know why. Because all I'm going to tell you is that God has a purpose. That purpose might be simply to draw you closer to Him. Because you haven't put Him on the throne. You've got other things on the throne. Your job, your kids, your husband, your wife, your time. He wants to be on the throne. So He'll let you endure something until you're willing to put Him on the throne. Hard to do. It's a hard thing to do. But God expects it. And God will direct you, and He will be very specific about it. In the middle of that section, Jesus was very specific. He said to Simon, not only do I want you to go fishing, I want you to go out to the deep water. I want you to put your nets there. Do you think Jesus knew something that Simon didn't know? Yeah, He did. You know why? Because He's God. It kind of reminded me of Easter. I have a lot of grandkids, and every Easter we do the Easter egg hunt thing. Okay, you all do it. I know it. Admit it. Okay? So you go out on the lawn, and you hide all the Easter eggs. You put some in the rock walls and some under the rose bushes and some behind the trees. And the kids all run around, and they're picking up the Easter eggs. And there's always the little one. There's always the little one who can't find anything. And you go over behind the tree and you say, over here. Look over here. And the little one comes over. And he looks behind the tree and he goes, and he thinks you're the greatest thing since ice cream. How did you know that was there? I love that part. And he picks it up and they're thrilled. That's what Peter did. This is exactly what Peter did in verse 8. Look what he says. When Jesus said, look over here. Look behind this tree. Drop your nets right here. And they filled it up. And Peter went. When he saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, get away from me, for I am a sinful man. You know what he was saying? Wow. I know who you are now. You're God. Really? From fish? God uses mysterious things, doesn't He? That is amazing. He was thrilled. It's exactly like a little child who finds that Easter egg behind a tree on Easter morning. Now, you know what's amazing about all this? After Simon had heard Jesus speak so many times, and he made this cognitive decision at this point to fall on his knees and recognize and worship the true God, he then did what? He made a big career change. It says he left his boat and followed Him. They went off and were happily ever after. Nope. He followed Him for 3 years. And he listened to Him, and he learned from Him, and he watched Him. And everything was wonderful. No, it wasn't. Because something had to happen. And you know the story. You're going to celebrate it coming Easter. And you know Peter's part in it. Peter got to such a low, fearsome point that one night at a campfire, he couldn't even recognize the man, Jesus. He said, I don't know Him. No, I don't know Him. 3 times. He was afraid and had separated himself from the truth out of fear. And then you know what happened. The trial went forth. Jesus was scourged and tortured and crucified and died. And here's an interesting part of the story. You know what happened to Peter? He went back to fishing. That fire, that discovery that he made on Lake Genesaret, gone. No hope. Discouraged. That's what happens to us. Deny it if you want. Faith is a hard thing to hold on to. In this world, in circumstances, will try everything it can to take it away from you. And every once in a while, you have to be reminded, my God lives. What happened? Let's go to John 21. One to ten. Deja vu. Afterward, I love technology. Wow. Good job, Russ. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. This is after he died and rose again, and Peter went back to fishing. With the same guys, the same profession, with the same results. Afterward, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and the other disciples were together. I'm going fishing, said Peter. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Deja vu. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. And he called to them and said, caught anything yet? No, they answered. He said, throw your nets behind the tree. No, he didn't. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat. And you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord! As soon as Simon heard this and heard him say that, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the lake. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire burning there with fish on it. Wait a minute. The fish hadn't got there yet. It doesn't matter with God. He already provides. Just reach out. I don't mean to yell. I'm just excited. Oh, God is so good. Burning with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Message? Jesus never gives up. He's not giving up today. There are people in this room that far from grabbing their faith. reach out and clasp his hand. He's waiting. It's that simple. The salve of salvation is in Jesus. Trust in him. You did for your soul. Trust that he can take you through what you're going through. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
Let's take a minute and pray. Father, together we want to pray for each other, and whatever it is that you are calling us to trust you for, to reach out to you for every person here who has a specific thing in their life that they attached this truth to, we pray that you would give us the grace, give each one of us the grace to carry through, to follow through, and to reach out to you as you are reaching out to us.